Thank you, Steve. Hello, everyone. I'm Bill, and that's Wendy. Welcome to our show.
Hello.
Hi, Wendy. Would you do the whole show as the porpoise? That would be fun to listen to.
No, my porpoise used to be better.
What happened?
I don't know. I haven't done it in a while. Lauren Jiggetts also does a porpoise, and not nearly as well as mine. We need to have a porpoise off.
Would she disagree with that? Would Lauren TV's Lauren Jiggetts say otherwise?
I don't know. Jeff Hoover was throwing it to her to do a porpoise, yeah. And I heard it, and I was like,
"You weren't
that's
pleased.
Not
you
how
didn't
you
think
do
that
it.
Was good."
Jasmine, we have to reach out to Lauren Jiggetts and have a porpoise off.
All right.
She won't answer me. She doesn't like me for some reason.
No, that's not true. She's afraid.
Maybe so.
I think she's scared.
I have another animal story that is just really sticking with me and making me sick.
Do you want to say it now, or do you want to wait till noted pet expert Steve Dale is here to console you? It's up to you.
No, I'll feel worse if I say it when he's here.
Yeah?
Kona got his first rabbit.
Yeah.
And didn't finish the job, and it was in the yard, and I couldn't kill it. And I should have. But I can't. I don't kill things.
Right. So what happens now?
I moved it on the other side of the fence so he wouldn't go right out and do it again, but it just...
Did you consider taking the rabbit to an animal hospital?
No.
No? But it was sick, wasn't it?
I don't think it...
Did you have a talk? Did you talk to the dog about this?
I was mad at Kona, and I shouldn't be, because he's doing what a dog does. Rabbits should know, hey, smells like dog in this yard, I'll go to the neighbor's house that doesn't have a dog.
So you're blaming the rabbit?
No, I'm blaming nature.
Stupid nature.
But I was the only one around, and I didn't know what to do, and I had the shovel, and I couldn't do it.
Oh.
I couldn't do it.
Oh.
It couldn't use its back legs, and it just...
Oh.
It's...
I'm sure it'll be fine.
No, it's not fine, but
positive.
I'm sure it's struggling, and I feel terrible, and my kid said, Mom, you should have killed it, and I said, yeah, I know, but I couldn't. I can't kill anything.
Right. I know.
Could you?
No. Mm-mm.
So I've been sick to my stomach since yesterday afternoon. It's life, I know, it's gross, it's sick, it was a teenage rabbit, and I saw the mother in
the neighbor's
yard. It was a
teenage rabbit?
Yeah, it wasn't a baby, but it wasn't full grown, and I saw the mother in the other yard, and I looked at her, and I said, I am so sorry.
How did you know it was a teen? Was it vaping? That's what they do now, Wendy, these teenagers. They love the vaping. Several years ago when I was doing stand-up, I got to the club, and one of the other comics on the bill comes in, and she's very upset. She's on the verge of tears, and I said, what happened? And I you need to know this about her. Huge pet lover, gigantic pet lover. And she said, I hit a rabbit in the parking lot, but the rabbit's not dead. Could you go and hit it again? And I said, no, I can't do that.
I know.
And she said, you have to. And I said, no, you have to. You started it, you finish it. I can't just drive around the parking lot hitting rabbits.
I had a girlfriend who hit an owl. I know that sounds crazy.
An owl?
There was an owl. She hit an owl.
This is now going to be a game of top that.
Who was it? What?
I got it.
That takes some doing.
Well, it was on the road, and she, you know, hit something. I wasn't in the car at the time, but it was like high school Friday night going out.
Yep.
And she's like, did you guys hear that? So she stopped to see what it was, and she said it was an owl. And they said, well, you can't leave it half alive. So she backed up over it. I give her so much credit. This poor bunny is probably still alive suffering, and I just want to puke. I can't do it.
Can we go back to the owl for 5 seconds? Did that cause some damage to the car?
No, because it was on the street.
Well, there could be little owls, too.
There are, to Steve's point, there are smaller owls.
What's an owl doing in the street?
Well, they were probably eating carrion. They were probably picking up some dead mouse or something.
Only to have this happen.
What's a teenager doing driving down the street?
Good question.
I don't know if that... Well, what do you mean?
So can I tell you something kind of fascinating to me that came up on the business lunch?
Yes.
We were talking about how... Well, Wendy...
I just am really bothered by this bunny, Steve. I'm sorry.
When did this... Wait, Steve, hold on 1 second. Did this happen yesterday?
Yeah, about 5 o'clock.
Right. Oh, it's dead by now.
Yeah.
It was slow.
It wasn't at 8.
Right. So we were talking about how will robots one day have rights, which sounds silly, and will we ever have feelings for robots and other than, you know, the one of the Jetsons? And the expert said, think about how we treat animals. Because, you know, and I grew up in a farm area where if an animal was near its life, you would kill it.
Yeah.
There'd be no hesitation to smack a bunny over its head. Well, there just wouldn't. But times have changed now to where we have sort of we treat animals more like humans than we used to.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's definitely true. And so he said, along that same track, that's what could end up happening with robots one day.
But don't you think it's a harder sell with robots? Don't you think, kind of?
Well, it was not a big deal to whack a sick dog.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't have a gun. I know Old Yeller.
Old Yeller. Spoiler alert. Old Yeller.
I know that's what you do for a lifelong companion like that.
Yes.
I just can't kill a living thing.
Yeah. Yep.
It was not going to make it. I know it's not going to make it.
All right. You've killed spiders in your house.
They're bugs. Bugs don't count.
And they're God's creatures, Wendy.
A lot of times I will
bugs
take
count.
Flies I kill. I hate flies.
You can't judge. You can't kill only the things you hate. That's not right.
If I found a moth in my house,
you
which
would kill
I
moth?
Had, no, I carry it outside and let it free. Fly free, little mothy.
Moths are bugs.
And you've got all that moth dust then on your fingers.
Yeah,
they,
you
they
do.
They need that to survive.
Yeah.
They crash land and are eaten by a skunk minutes later.
It is weird when you have a candle and a moth goes, it flies directly into the flame of the candle. And
doesn't
then it pops.
Itself?
It pops.
It just incinerates itself?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. You know the phrase, like, drawing a moth to a flame?
Yeah, but
that's
I've never
legit.
Seen it happen.
I've seen it happen 3 different times, and each time the moth just pops when
well,
it hits the flame.
That's a stupid moth.
Like that, you hear that.
Really? I've never seen that.
They all do that. It's just instinct because it's light and they don't know it's going to kill them. So they fly right into it.
I've seen them go to a light bulb, like the porch light or whatever. I have never.
Same thing, yeah.
But one is, you know, not going to hurt them.
The other one.
Well, the moth doesn't know.
The moth has no idea.
I mean, a moth couldn't even be pea brain. That'd be too big for the moth.
Right. Moth's brains are only this big, Wendy.
Right.
That's it. They have no idea. They just see light. They get excited. Oh, this is good. What harm can come of this? It's light. It's good. Gone.
How do you guys know so much about moths?
Just years of study.
Right.
What is going on?
Right. Steve and I were at the conservatory. That's where we met. At the moth conservatory.
All right. 312. Tell Wendy how she ruined everyone's day. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Not everyone. I'm sure there's people who hate rabbits who are very
They're the cute. I had Nosy, my pet rabbit, for 12 years. I love rabbits. Yeah. I just.
You can't kill them.
We had a pet guinea pig for a while that would run free on our deck. And we have friends who brought their dog over.
Oh,
and
no.
My wife and her friend were talking in the front yard, and the dog just wandered into the backyard. And we heard a squeal, and that was the end of Jelly Bean.
That's quick.
Right? Jelly Bean.
Yep.
But that's what happens.
I know, and it's nature, and I couldn't punish Kona.
It's the food chain.
We haven't talked to those friends in years.
You did it. I think you did it right, Steve. All right, let us take a break and think about what we've done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I have another event that happened to me over the weekend that I almost got killed.
I hope that's not true. What happened?
Just driving down a street. I'm in the left turn lane, waiting to turn left, busy intersection. There's a car in front of me who's inched up a little bit, so I'm already in the intersection.
Yeah.
Waiting for a break in traffic so I can proceed and make my left-hand turn.
Yes.
The light turns yellow. The big car in front of me turns, and as I went to follow that car and continue the turn, there's a car blowing through the yellow light coming straight at me. And it was a split second. Your split second reaction is to hit the brake.
Right.
And I just like tapped the brake and then went back to the accelerator and continued, like I swerved around him and continued my turn because he was probably, and I'm not exaggerating, going at least 50 or 60 miles an hour to go through that yellow light.
If you tell me that car was being driven by a rabbit, you will lose all credibility.
Yes, Harvey was driving yes. it. But oh my God, I
that's never happened to you before?
Not like that.
That
usually
happens a lot.
Like if you're waiting to turn, you're the first car.
Sure.
I've seen people blow yellow lights.
Yeah, right.
But not as a car is turning. You got to know that there might be a car behind
right.
it. I mean, so then of course I came home and I said to my sons, you know, listen, don't trust anyone on the road. Just be a defensive driver.
Yes.
Think that, you know, just always look around. Don't be nervous, but know that people may blow red lights. People
right.
for sure may blow yellow
yeah.
lights.
Yeah.
But oh my God, the adrenaline level and the car that was in front of me as we proceeded down the roadway, I pulled up next to them and I thought that they were going to like look over to me and go, oh God, I'm glad you're okay. It was a woman with her teenage daughter, didn't even notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, everything that happened to you this weekend...
I'm a nervous wreck.
Within a quarter of an inch of death.
I know.
All right, here's a story. Tell me what you make of this. Now, before I tell you what happened, I need to preface it by saying, every once in a while, I watch this show called What Would You Do? Did you ever see that
yeah.
show? Yeah. With John Quinones?
Yes.
I love What Could You Do? What Would You Do? So, if you've never seen the show What Would You Do, what happens is... they have actors in a situation that's uncomfortable, and then there's nearby bystanders who react because they see things that happen, and they're shocked at what happens, and then John Quinones comes out and says, hey, what would you do if you were that guy or that girl?
That's right? A great concept.
I like that show. I like that show. So on Friday's installment of What Would You Do with John Quinones, they showed...
you just like saying his name, don't you?
They showed... a grocery store, and a woman is in front of the line at the grocery store, and she's only bought a couple of items. And then she realizes, as the checkout person is done, that she forgot two items on her list. She pulls out a list and goes, oh, I forgot a couple of things. And she says to the people in line, do you mind if I just go and get the items? Which you're not supposed to do.
No, if you're already checked out, you know
you
what?
You should be done.
You check out, and then you go back and get the items.
Right.
I've done it several times.
Right. That's how it should be.
I did it yesterday.
Everyone's done this,
forgot
right?
the whole whipping cream.
Oh, no. Oh, no. So the reactions from people varied. Some people were, as you would imagine, pretty upset. Other people are like, yeah, whatever. This one lady, who was amazing, upon hearing that this woman left some items out, said, well, what do you need? I'll help you get them, and then the whole process will be faster. She was so nice. So then John Quinones comes out and says to this woman, you're a saint. To do something like this. You don't know this woman. And she goes, well, we've all been in situations where, you know, you're forgetful. There's a lot of pressure. And I've been there. So I just wanted to help this woman. So I'm watching this. And I thought to myself, John Quinones, you have inspired me. If I'm ever in a similar situation, I am certainly going to do the right thing as this woman has done. I have learned a valuable lesson here this evening. The very next day, I'm in a grocery store. And I have my items down. Only a couple of things. Just some club soda. That's all I needed. And a woman comes, and she's on one of those riding carts.
Oh, yeah.
It's an older woman, and she's obviously brought this from home. So it's a riding cart with a basket, and in the basket, she's got a whole bunch of items. And she comes up behind me, and I say to the woman, if it's okay with you, I would like to help you. I'll unload the items onto the conveyor.
Look at you.
And she said, oh, that's so nice of you. I said, well, I didn't bring up the whole thing with John Quinones, but... it was in my head, Wendy. I'm like, if it weren't for John Quinones and the people over, what would you do? I might not do this, but I'm going to help you. So I put all the items there. So I got 11 or 12 items. And then when I get up to pay for the club soda, the checkout woman says this to me. She does that thing with her hand where you're like, you're moving your hand sideways by your mouth because you're like sharing a secret.
Right.
And she goes, the least she could have done is paid for your club soda. And I go, no, I don't want her to pay for my club soda. And she goes, I'm just saying, after all you went through, which was nothing.
Yeah.
All I did was lift a bunch of items onto the...
she didn't know
that
you
was
the club
it.
Soda.
But she said it so mysteriously, like, I hope nobody hears this, but just between you and me, she should have been paying for your club soda. Uh-uh.
No.
Uh-uh.
Rob has called us, 312-981-7200. What's up, Rob?
Hello, Wendy. Hello. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Fine.
Just want to tell you about 3 years ago, I was at an intersection, Dyer, Indiana, and I was making a left turn, and a truck was coming at me, and I waited to see if he'll stop, and he blew the red light. He swerved, I swerved, and it could have been over.
Oh, my God.
Happens every day.
I was white as a ghost, and everybody went to the pharmacy, and they said, why? What happened? And I told them, they says, that's why you got to pray. Guardian angels.
I have a lot of guardian angels.
We need them.
Yes,
and
we
do. And I had a shirt that says we pray. Pray the rosary.
Don't pray at the intersection, though.
Pray anything.
I prayed after.
All the focus should be on the road at the intersection. Pray later, yeah.
And actually, a person was killed. An elderly man was killed 2 weeks after that.
Ah.
I may
have. At the same intersection?
Pardon me?
At the same intersection?
Same intersection, yes.
Oh.
Just be careful out there, and I may have used God's name in vain first, but then I prayed after that I survived.
I passed the word, and I pray for all of you. Pray for the world.
All right.
Thank you. I'm praying for the world, too, Rob. We appreciate it. Bless you, my son.
I didn't know you had the authority to do that. That's impressive.
I don't have the authority to do anything. Thomas called us as well. Hi, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, what's up?
I just want to talk about, you know, hitting critters on the road. I had a friend who happened to hit a skunk, looked in his rearview mirror and felt bad because it was flopping around in the road, so backed up and ran it over again, and it sprayed his car. So, I guess he did the right thing, but he paid the price.
Oh, poor thing. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, sure.
That's a test. Would you do that, Wendy?
No.
You wouldn't do that. Here's a text for you, Wendy. Are you accepting texts?
I'm sick.
Hi, Wendy. About 10 years ago, I was walking with my dog, and we saw a rabbit lying on its side on someone's driveway. As I walked by, I picked its head up, and it looked directly at me. I ran home and drove back to the driveway. I picked the rabbit up. I took it to Banfield's.
Oh, yeah, that's...
What is Banfield?
It's a butcher shop, isn't
it? No. Steve Bertrand.
I thought it was.
It's the veterinary clinic in PetSmart.
It goes on to say, I'm sorry, I didn't see this part. I took it to Banfield's in the PetSmart store where they euthanized it. It had been attacked by an animal, and it was beyond saving. I sobbed when I left, but I felt better knowing that the poor thing wasn't going to die on the hot pavement. It was Labor Day weekend, and no one from animal control was working. We've also had text saying you want to call animal control in a situation like this.
So they can euthanize
so
it.
So they can, yeah.
So did Banfield's do it for free?
It doesn't say in the text. I don't know how they operate.
I'd pay for it. I don't care about that. I just didn't know
Money's
what to
no
do.
Money's no object here. Right? What's the highest you'd pay for that service?
Well,
what if they said it's $300? Would you pay?
No.
Nope.
Okay, so this week we were reading on our back porch. We have a screened-in back porch.
Mm-hmm.
At night, it was dark, and there clearly was an animal attack going on in our backyard.
You heard it. Yeah, I hate that sound.
So by your school of humanitarianism, I mean,
you got to break it up.
You should run out there, right?
Yep. When you hear animals fighting, do you in your head try to imagine what those two animals are? I always try to go, I wonder what those are.
Yeah, but you think of cartoon animals.
I always think of cartoon animals.
Animals under duress make the most unbelievable noise.
Yeah.
Like rabbits that you'd never...
Right.
Well, maybe Wendy has when she's hit one, but you know, you'd never think they would make that noise.
Right, right. It's like a screech.
Yeah,
very high.
Yeah.
It's like that. Like the Psycho theme song.
It is like that, because I've heard baby bunnies get caught by the neighbor's cat, which I'm hoping the neighbor's cat helped out last night.
Oh.
Wendy.
It'll be okay.
You did. I know, but now I feel guilty. I should have taken it somewhere where they could have euthanized it.
Mm. It's the way of life, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Still makes me sick.
It's the circle of life.
Kona's grounded.
In this case, it's not a circle. It ends right
there.
No,
the circle ends. Yeah. Right. Yep.
The circle doesn't end, you guys. It's not supposed to.
No, that's true. All right. It's news time, Wendy.
It is news time.
Yeah.
Oh, then can we sneak in just a quick call?
Yeah,
go ahead. John. I was turning left. The light turned yellow. I was already in the intersection, and you're thinking that I was at fault?
Well, I was in an accident where a gentleman turned in front of me. I was heading straight ahead, and he ended up getting ticketed. You're responsible for making that left-hand turn in front of an oncoming vehicle. And the other thing is that we're Chicago Pet Transport, and we pick up animals that are in distress, injured, whatever the case may be, and take them to an emergency room where the vet has declined.
How do people get a hold of you, John? Because I wish I knew this yesterday.
They can go to chicagopettransport.com, and our phone number is 312-256-4474.
John, what are the geographical boundaries? How far will you go?
Well, normally we just do the Chicago Chicago, city of Chicago, but if there's an emergency, we'll go to the suburbs and pick them up as well.
Oh.
Depending on our schedule, we'll do veterinarians, boarding, whatever's needed. Deceased pets, we place them in a mortuary bag and transport them to the vet for handling.
Wow.
So, whatever's needed.
What are the odds you would get a caller who could comment on both topics?
I know, John, you're very special, but I also have to tell you that there was a car in front of me that turned on the yellow light, and I was just next in line to go. So technically, I didn't really pull in front of anyone. That car had plenty of time to stop.
Right, but if they had hit you, most likely you would have been liable.
Wow, wow.
That's it, I'm just staying in my house.
You can check with your insurance company or your local police department. They'll be able to give you more information about that. But like I said, in my accident, the guy just turned right in front of me. And I have no idea why, but he was just trying to get across. So.
Steve's right, John. You're an expert. You're an expert on all of our topics. Do you want to watch What Would You Do with John Quinones with me?
Well, actually, Mr. Dahl had us come in and be interviewed when we first started the business back in 2008.
Oh, wow. That's excellent.
He's a very nice guy and funny at times, that's for sure.
Well, thank you, John. Have
thank
a great
you, John.
Week.
We appreciate
Take
it.
Take care. Well, it's time again for the Farm Progress Show, and our own Orion Samuelson has some things to say about it. It's running Tuesday, August the 27th through Thursday, August the 29th. Orion, how are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine. Looking forward to this week, and I hope we'll move the showers out today and have good weather tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, because this is the granddaddy of all of the outdoor farm shows. It started way back in 1953, and if you had to write a check to buy one of everything on the grounds, Bill, I think you may write a check for over $1 billion.
Oh, I don't have that kind of money, Orion.
Well, I'll loan you some.
All right, thank you.
All right, I have a farming question for you, O.
Yes.
We had a lot of rain, and I know a lot of farmers are going to be hurt by that. We have had this little stretch of great weather until today. Is there any way for them to recoup things, or no, because they would have had to plant earlier?
Well, you're very right on having to plant earlier, because normally we're finished planting corn by the 1st of May and generally finished with soybeans by the middle of May. This year, we saw some farmers planting in the first week of July.
Wow.
And what happens then, you get concerned about an early frost that could kill the plant before it matures. But you also worry about the kind of weather you need for the crop to play catch up. It's improving, and it's because of the seed technology that we'll be seeing at the Farm Progress Show. But as I fly Air Orion over the fields of Illinois and Wisconsin, which I've done in the past week and will be doing the next 3 days, it's obvious from the air how many fields did not get planted because of the wet weather.
You know, it seems like our seasons are shifting a bit, where it still stays warm into October and the frost comes later. So could farming be making a switch on when they plant?
Well, it's interesting because over the past few decades, we have seen, for example, at one time, McLean County in Illinois, that's where Bloomington is located, was the biggest soybean producing county in the nation. Now, the biggest producing county in the nation is Cass County, North Dakota. So we have seen the movement of some of the crops, corn and soybeans, being planted in southern Canada. And, so Mother Nature is changing the schedule on what we farm and how we farm and when we farm.
Interesting.
Orion, if you had to guess, what do you think the hot topics will be among farmers at the Farm Progress Show?
Farmers will be talking about the weather, because every farmer I've interviewed this spring, I've said, have you ever seen a spring like this in your life? And I've not yet had one say, yeah, back in 1910, it was pretty bad. I just haven't heard that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the ongoing trade disagreement with China and the United States. That has created loss of some markets, particularly in China, for soybean growers. But they'll also be talking about the new tractors. There are some new tractors being introduced this year at the show, which is really kind of surprising because of the economic battle that farmers have been going through. It's kind of interesting that farm equipment companies are introducing new expensive tractors. Oh, and the other thing I have to tell you, you know, we're just getting into the beginning of autonomous cars, driverless cars.
Yeah.
Agriculture has had driverless tractors for a decade.
They really? Have, right?
Yeah. Yes, they have. The tractors that they start and operate all night without a driver in the cab. And the equipment companies are working to make it even better and faster and safer. And so far, we haven't had any accidents, I don't think, because of driverless tractors.
That's great. Are there all electric tractors, Orion?
There may be, but there may be some ATVs, the all-terrain vehicles, or the. I have not encountered any. No.
Hmm.
Do have to mention, Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue will be at the Farm Progress Show on Wednesday. And Tuesday, that's tomorrow, opening day, state secretaries of agriculture from around the country will be there to tour the show. Max Armstrong is there already, and he'll be appearing at several places. But Max and I will be together at noon every day, all 3 days. We'll be producing radio and television shows, and that will be on the entertainment stage, or the ADM stage in the entertainment building. So we're looking forward to that. And then every morning at 10 o'clock, I'll be on stage at the University of Illinois display to visit with market analysts and to take questions from the audience. So stop by and say hello to Max and me, and we look forward to seeing you.
Sounds good, Orion.
And this starts tomorrow, runs through Thursday. It's in Decatur. You can go to farmprogressshow.com. And forgive me for asking a silly question, but is this only open to farmers?
Oh, golly, no. There are a lot of city folks that come out, but I'll tell you, it is designed for farmers, and that's why they hold this show in the middle of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, rather than on the weekends. As a matter of fact, this past weekend, Max and I were in Rantoul, Illinois, at the Half Century of Progress show, which is showing us how we farmed 50, 70, 80 years ago, and now this week we get to see how we're going to be farming 50, 60 years into the future.
And Orion, in the past, Max always closes out the last night with the Broadway show tunes. Is he doing that again this year or not?
Yeah, he is doing it again, not only vocally, but he's dancing.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. Right.
That's pretty exciting.
Gotta see that.
I thought of you last night, because I had a big, thick New York strip steak and that me-rye corn, and what a great, lovely dinner.
Oh, doesn't come any better than that. I'll tell you, we're so lucky to have Twin Garden Farms and Gary Pack, who did a lot of the work on developing me-rye corn, but it is the best.
Orion,
and I'm glad you did an all-meat steak rather than a fake steak, so thank you.
No, New York strip, really thick, really good.
Yeah. Good tasting. Orion, thanks. It's fun to talk to you. Enjoy yourself at the Farm Progress Show.
All right. We'll check in with you tomorrow.
Perfect.
From Decatur.
That's
Thank
Orion
you.
Samuelson. That's who that is. We'll take a little break and then more show Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's so good to talk to Orion.
Yeah. Yep.
I'd make a good farm girl.
Oh, yes.
Although, too much work probably
but
for me.
It's a lot of, you have to get up very early. Very, very early. Wendy, it takes a lot to stun the world of sports, but the world of sports was stunned over the weekend when Andrew Luck, the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, decided to retire early. He's 29 years old. He'll be 30 in a couple of weeks. So did you see the reaction?
Yeah, but
of
I don't understand
fans?
It.
I'm trying
Maybe
to
you can explain this to me.
No, because I can't understand it either. For those of you who don't know, Andrew Luck has been a very successful quarterback in Indy. Took over for Peyton Manning, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Not easy to do. They say never follow a legend. He got thrown into the deep end. Did very, very well. And decided Saturday, as the Colts were losing to the Bears in a preseason game, I can't do this anymore. You know, it as you know, being a football player, as you know better than anyone, Wendy, being a pro football player in the NFL takes a lot of wear and tear on your body and on in your heart and in your head.
It's not good for you.
It's not good for you. And he retired. So as the game is ending, fans are hearing on the Twitter that Andrew Luck is hanging it up. And so they did what any true fan would do. They booed him.
But who gives them the right to boo him?
Well, let me speak in defense of Indianapolis Colts fans.
Yes.
Because I sympathize with Andrew Luck greatly, you know,
yes.
and good for him, you know, if he's made this decision, he's passing up on maybe hundreds of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it just before the season was about to start, and he didn't give, you know, and it's not like he just was injured.
Right.
And is out.
Right.
He's making this decision fairly able-bodied.
Yes.
And he's doing it to the organization just before the season starts, so they're not really in a position to replace him. And if you are a fan given to anger.
Right.
I'm not really one, but
right.
I can understand why that would tick you off a little bit.
Because he left him in a little bit of a lurch. They've got every team has.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
No, you did the right thing.
I was like, what the hell?
You did lurch at the time when I said lurch. That couldn't have been better. So, to Steve's point, you know, every NFL team has either a backup quarterback or two backup quarterbacks.
And if you think you got the guy for the season,
right.
you're not prepared to make
right.
changes. I get it.
And often the backup quarterback isn't really going to be your next quarterback.
Correct. So to that, yes, there's something to that. You know, there's these diehard Colts fans, and anyone who loves any sport knows you want your team to do the best, and then right before the season's about to start for a major change like this, there's no more important a position in any sport than the quarterback on a football team. That's the center of everything is your quarterback, and for him to do that, a lot of the true fans are saying, hey, why didn't you announce this a few months ago so we could have either gotten a different guy or figured things out a little bit better? I understand that. But to watch a guy that was a hometown hero like Andrew Luck was to the Colts, to see his fans just turn on him this way.
There should be something in a contract that you lose more money if you don't give them
enough notice. There is something to that. Like, he had money coming for the rest of his contract, and the Colts announced either yesterday or today, is it $24 million, Steve, that they're still going to give him even though he's retired?
I didn't see that. I don't know.
It's somewhere in the neighborhood of $24 million.
I'd retire too.
And what happened was, you know, ESPN broke this story during the game.
Yeah.
So he was going to make an announcement yesterday. But reporters found out about it and broke it the day before.
Yeah.
So people were finding out on Twitter and social media before it was announced?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Right.
That changes things, too.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't boo him.
Oh, they booed him like crazy. And then if you read any Twitter feeds about him or about the situation, they were just so mean to him. And, I mean, we lived under the Jay Cutler era in Chicago where I kept praying that he would announce his retirement.
Right.
Please, Jay Cutler. You've got a paper cut. You can't be the Bears quarterback. You should retire immediately.
You were booing him for not retiring.
Right. Every game.
Did you guys see the one guy in the audience who took off his Luck shirt?
His jersey?
He totally removed it, you know? And he didn't have anything under it. He just stripped it off.
Right. Enough of this.
Yeah.
Surprised he didn't burn it.
I don't know. Probably would have if he had a fire.
But, you know, also, you know, we all have reactions in the heat of the moment that a day or two later we wouldn't have again.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of those people who are booing, you know, were more blindsided. And, you know, who knows if they feel the same way now.
So these are just fans of the team who expected a very good season coming up. The Colts were favored to do very, very well. Anybody who knows football would tell you that the Colts were in a pretty good position, and that position dropped dramatically after he announced his retirement.
Isn't Cutler still available?
Yeah.
Just give him to him.
Yes.
It's a freebie.
Yeah, guys, take Jay Cutler. Trust us. It can't. Yeah. There's no harm can come from this.
And you know he'd do well.
He's got the good TV show now with Kristen.
What you eating there, Mayor?
Larry. Chocolate chip cookie. Pretty good.
That's what I so love about this place, and I mean this with all sincerity.
If you're hungry, you eat,
well,
right?
It's just like we're sitting around.
Yeah. I'm here a long time.
You know, and more power to Mary, because when she's hungry and it's her lunchtime, if it comes, she'll eat.
Right.
Bertrand just, you know, remember we were on the stream a little early, and he's like, I said, are you going to stay? He goes, no, I think I'm going to go get some lunch.
But that was during my lunch break. I wasn't usually on with you at that time. I was
sitting
extra.
I don't get a lunch break.
I don't either.
You got to eat when you're hungry. You got to eat. Break.
I like it. It's like we're sitting around our little kitchen table, Bill. You and I are sharing an apartment.
Yeah, but you guys gave me a look like, what, you're leaving? I'm like, I'm not supposed to be here anyway.
No, we asked you to share some bonus time with us because we like you so much. Right.
Mary, you're not just having cookies for lunch again, are you?
No, I already ate my half sandwich.
Oh, she has the same lunch every day. Go ahead and tell Bill what it is.
Oh, do you really? Do you do the same every day?
I do. I'm really boring. I have my half turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
Sometimes I, you know, set it up with some lettuce and tomato.
Ooh, the accoutrement.
Yeah, go crazy.
Always, oh, piece of cheese.
Deluxe.
And chips and
and then a cookie if you're good.
Yes. And I'm good every day.
What kind of cookie?
Today's chocolate chip.
But I mean, is it bought?
No, it's not good. It's from Walmart.
There's no such word as bought.
No, oh, I love this conversation.
It's the Walmart cookies.
There is a word bought.
No, there is not. Bill,
not a word.
Bill, say something.
I don't think bought's a word.
Okay, put some money up on this.
I don't think it is.
Put some money up on this.
All right, bought, I guess, is a word.
Is it a word?
But shouldn't be.
What?
It's not. That sounds grammatically incorrect.
Oh, but it isn't.
Botten.
Is it?
Used it in a sentence.
Botten.
No,
that's what it's called.
Were those cookies homemade or were they botten?
Botten.
Bought rather than homemade.
So that supersedes purchased. You go with botten over purchased.
It's a different word.
Did you say bought?
Yeah. Did you buy those at the store? Or did you make them?
Oh, don't try those. They're botten.
That sounds completely wrong.
But and yet he's completely right.
Yeah, but they just added that.
They didn't just add it. It's been around forever.
I don't believe you.
It's not a
word. You didn't think it was a word. It's a word.
It is. I'm
My
looking right here.
Used to say that when she was five.
She was ahead of her time. She's a genius. Sister was a genius. She got two cookies for lunch.
I know this because my mom used the word a few years ago. And we mercilessly just turned on her.
You winced, right? Like, Mom, that's not a word.
Like we did to him.
Yes.
Yeah, just exactly like you did to me. And I felt terribly because we looked it up, and it is a word.
She's
so
right.
I can use it in Scrabble?
Ellen's yes.
Got it right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
See, I felt terribly, and you also say I feel badly. And to me, I was taught that you feel bad. If you feel badly, then your sense of feel is bad.
Oh.
Haven't you ever heard badly use your adverb?
Right.
You have to use your app.
I'll say the world.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yep. Ding, ding.
Can I go back to eating my cookie now?
Yes, of course, Mary. Finish your cookie.
I feel badly implies that your sense of touch is not right. When you are referring to a sense of touch, then badly is used as an adverb describing the verb to feel or touch.
So I should say I feel bad.
Yep. I feel bad for him because he didn't make the cut.
Well, I feel bad that my book was bought.
I feel bad that this cookie is terrible.
Oh, no. Mayor, that's awful. All right. We will take a break, and then we'll come back, and Steve will give you some news. You know how it goes. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, it's our friend. It's noted pet expert Steve Dale, here to brighten the day.
I'm dancing.
Look pets at you. Are people, too.
Yep.
Pets yes. are people,
and you know what
too.
Today is?
National Dog Day.
International Dog Day.
Mm, you
and,
sure?
Yeah, I think yeah. so. And All you know right. what?
What?
We don't. None of us have to go to work today. It's a holiday. A holiday.
For who? Dogs. They don't have to go to their job today.
Oh.
Not yeah, us. We have to work.
Steve, we are still required to work on International Dog Day.
I actually hid Kona's briefcase because I said, you're not going in today.
You need a day off.
I thought it was for us.
No, come on, please.
I didn't plug
Be
the
real.
Meter. I Steve, thought I had free parking today.
Did you hear at the very beginning of the show, Wendy told a very, very sad story.
Yep.
To Kleenexer. Mm-hmm. About an incident with her dog and a rabbit. Did you hear any of this?
I did.
Yeah.
And
the
I
rabbit did not do well.
Made everybody upset, and I'm sorry. I'm yeah. still upset. I cried a lot.
What should she have done? For people who don't know, Wendy, just a quick outline of what happened
Kona
there.
Caught a rabbit and didn't finish the job. There.
Yeah. So it would be nice if that didn't happen in the future and we can keep the rabbits out of the yard in the first place, you know?
Should I get a BB gun?
No!
Wendy,
no!
But now, I will say, Steve came in and said, yeah, I heard this earlier, and I said, what do I do? And he goes, you're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. And you said someone should be in the yard with Kona.
And you were.
We are every time. He has never left unattended. Fenced yard.
But you had rabbits nesting there.
Well, I didn't see a nest this time. This was years ago.
Oh.
Tiki probably got about eight rabbits.
Oh. All right, but what? Yeah, I don't know. Put up a sign and say, "Danger dog to rabbits."
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Do that.
How come they can't smell that a
they
dog
can.
Has urinated in
they,
our yard?
They actually can.
Well, then they're dumb.
Well, Steve?
Periodically, rabbits are sometimes more intelligent than others, and there are some rabbits that would go nowhere near there. I suppose that's how rabbits become more intelligent. The ones that don't figure it out don't reproduce, and the ones that do.
It's survival of the
thinning
fittest.
Of the herd.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's but it is sad.
It was a teenager, too. It wasn't
you know
a baby. Well, that's what Bill said. How'd you know it was a teenager? Was it vaping?
That's right.
That was maybe your best ever.
Ah, whatever. Thanks.
You had a list of his best ever.
You know what? There's not enough paper in the world.
I know, but it would be really cool to have such a thing.
Steve, what should we know on this International Dog Day? What are the key points that we should know?
Well, we should remember.
Who's calling you? Your dog?
It's my phone.
Yeah, I know what it is.
I apologize for that. Sorry.
I was wondering, is
you
Jasmine
knew that's what his ringer was going to
well,
be like?
Don't I didn't think about it. I hear a lot of people who have the stupid duck as their ringer.
No, yeah. I would never do that.
I want to do that.
Maybe a
dog.
Cat I would do, too. So we should remember what dogs can do for us and do with us. I mean, we don't even understand completely. So what I often say is dogs understand us better than we understand them. And what they can do is astounding. So If I had been on a show with you guys 20 years ago.
Yes.
But actually,
you were.
I probably, right.
You
I
were.
Was on shows with you 20 years ago with
yes.
you guys. And what I didn't possibly say at that point, because we didn't know this, is that dogs could detect when diabetics have crashes.
That's amazing.
Or people have seizures. They can detect that in advance that you're going to have a seizure. We're beginning now. To better, but we still don't completely understand all that dogs can do.
They can sniff out cancer.
Yeah,
yes.
They can do that.
Yes, yeah, so dogs.
They can give you colonoscopies.
And you're not getting a
what?
Dog? That is not the.
He liked that one.
End all.
Oh, don't, Wendy. Don't cheapen it, please.
I don't know that I've ever seen him laugh quite like that before. It
right.
caught him.
At
very
his own
good.
How do you explain that dogs have these abilities, Steve? It must baffle science.
I can explain it just a little bit. So here's what we do know, that dogs evolved with us. And we are the
They were wolves at some point, right?
They were, but don't be fooled by those TV commercials that say, bring out the wolf in your dog.
Yeah.
Because the kind of wolf they're talking about. So the Eastern Grey Wolf, which is what they're talking about, evolved about the same time that a wolf that is long, long extinct began to develop into dogs.
Ah.
And our dogs are, in fact, nutritionally more like us than like wolves in many ways.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, really, friends, the Bichon or Poodle or Kona, your dogs at home, are not wolves at all. But they did evolve from a species of wolf that has not been around. And 40,000 years ago, you know, people talk about how dogs are members of the family and now dogs sleep in our beds and all that, which is very true.
Yeah.
But that's not new. So 40,000 years ago, we actually know from archaeological evidence that dogs slept beside people, which is incredible.
Three Dog Night is
well,
what,
right. They, yes.
They got their name because it's in the Alaskan tundra.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a three dog night, you curled up with three dogs as opposed to one or two.
Yes, totally correct. And it's you know, I guess it's because they didn't have space heaters back then, 40,000
right.
years ago. I don't know. But it was utilitarian. But also, it's quite incredible if you think about the fact that dogs trusted us with their puppies.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there was no spay-neuter back then.
Yeah.
And we trusted them not to eat our babies. I mean, this wasn't... I mean, they didn't have...
That was the
homes.
Deal.
Well,
we signed a pact with dogs saying
well,
that.
Well, we kind of did.
Yeah.
Pinky Paw swore.
Yeah.
And we hunted with them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's thought... So, we are one of two primate species on the planet that have sclera in our eyes, the whites in our eyes.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually thought by experts who know far more than me, it was a way we developed that we didn't have that like Neanderthal men didn't have that. Cro-Magnon men developed it, and it's thought to be a way that we could communicate with dogs. They could easily catch the white in our eye, and we didn't have to scream whatever people screamed back then, like, ho-woo-ah-oh, or, I don't know, caveman language.
Hmm.
Is that right?
That was very convincing.
Sure.
No, very convincing.
I'm not sure
but
that's
that
right.
Makes sense, because without the white in your eye, you wouldn't be able to see, you know, your mom wouldn't have been able to give you that look without whites in her eyes,
that's
so dogs can read that look.
Yes, yes. And the only other primate species that has that is orangutans, and it's thought because they live in dense foliage in the trees that that was one way, and continues to be, the few that are left, that they can communicate with one another as well.
That's pretty fascinating. I just got a text from Jimmy Mac. Kona found his briefcase, but is wondering if I know where his keys and wallet are on this International Dog Day.
It is International Dog Day. It's one of my favorite days.
It is pretty amazing, the bond between human and dogs. And I'm not going to criticize cats. I had a cat, Declan, my only cat I ever had and ever will. But there seems to be a bigger bond, obviously, between dogs and humans
and cats. Given the opportunity to socialize with people, dogs instantly have that. I mean, a study that was done, for example, in a Middle Eastern country where dogs are presumed culturally to be dirty. Even there, they looked at a picture of a dog, and their level of oxytocin, the feel-good hormone, increased just by looking at a picture. Another study that I love is they showed a bunch of people a Lassie movie. I don't know which one it was. Lassie Go Home, Lassie Come Home, Lassie's Home. I don't know which one it was. But one of those Lassie movies. And beforehand, everybody did what you like to do. They peed in a cup.
Yeah.
And then after the movie, they did the same thing. And they measured. Really?
What?
This is true. And they measured.
Where do you go see your movies? I'm not going there.
No, never go to a movie with me. And they measured. They measured.
This is during the previews for other movies?
No. This was a special study that they did.
Yeah.
And they measured cortisol level with those folks.
That's stress. Right.
And it went down just by watching a Lassie movie.
I believe that.
Wow.
A lot of times before bed, we sit around and we watch dog fail videos, and just it's it.
What
just
are dog fail videos?
It's like, you know, people fail, they get hit in the crotch with thing. They have a bunch of dog things, like a dog's going up the stairs, and all of a sudden it slips and falls.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just goofy people taking video of their dog. But we watch dog videos a lot before bed, and it makes you laugh, it calms you down, it chills you out.
Yeah, as does simply petting a dog.
Yep.
Would dogs find these videos amusing to watch other dogs not doing well at things?
I don't think that would be
upsetting.
No, I think so.
They'd go, look at that idiot.
Yeah,
I'd never do that.
We do believe that dogs have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And we know their brain chemistry, which can bring me to the next story, is very similar to our own.
All right. Hold that thought, noted pet expert Steve Dale. We'll find out what Steve's talking about
next. It's heavy.
Will you talk more in that caveman voice? Because people love that.
Oog.
Nah, you're good. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Left. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is noted pet expert Steve Dale. Steve, you started telling us a story about a dog. We had to interrupt for the commercials. What's going on?
Well, I was talking about how brain chemistry in dogs is actually very similar to ours. And many of the same emotions that we feel, dogs feel as well. Same is true for cats. And the same is true for other canines, which include coyotes. So coyotes most certainly are not dogs, and they're not pets. So this woman named Tommy Tranchita, about 13 years ago, was volunteering for one of those animal welfare organizations, and they had come across four coyotes that were orphaned, very young. I believe they were thought to have distemper. I mean, they were very sick. And she brought them through, and they survived. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. The downside is, what do you do with them now?
Yeah.
So they couldn't be re-released back into the woods. First of all, there's so many coyotes out there anyway. But secondly, they wouldn't know how to hunt.
They were domesticated,
and
kinda.
They were not afraid of people.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say they were domesticated, but they were tame.
Okay.
And they were adjusted to people, had lost their fear of people, because their only experience with people was positive. So this woman, Tommy, said, you know what, I think she's in Lamont. And she said, you know what, I'm just going to dedicate my backyard to these guys. I'll do some educational programs for the community, because she knew that getting licensing was necessary, because you don't need a license necessarily to have a dog, although you do need a dog license, but you need special licenses for all this. She got all those licenses, and for 13 years now, forwarding the clock 13 years, permits all approved, no problem, any year, Department of Agriculture, USDA, Illinois State Department of Ag would come out. They would assess what she's doing and say, fine, this looks really good.
Doing everything by the book.
Yeah, exactly right. Then one day at 7 in the morning, she gets a knock or pounding on her door with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources holding guns pointing at her, as well as at the coyotes. And what's up with that? She said, what did I do? They said something about needing some other license. She said, I'll get it. They said, no. And they said, in fact, give me all your paperwork. I'm taking it from you, and we're confiscating those coyotes. And Wendy, I know you well enough to know that if you saw the videos of how they did that, that with tranquilizer guns, and these are animals, by the way, that were tame. So she said, I can just ask the coyotes to go in their crates. Give me some time. Reportedly, according to her, the gentleman from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources who was leading this said, I have to leave for vacation. I don't have time.
And well, then get someone else to do it.
They were actually reportedly making jokes about what they were doing as they were doing it. So they confiscate in a very unnecessary, in my opinion, and horrific manner, the coyotes. Within weeks, three of the four died.
Yep. I remember reading about this. Yeah. It's terrible.
And one is still there. And Tommy was on my show. I was out of the country when this all happened, but Tommy was on my show this past Sunday.
What was the reason they did this? Did she ever get to the bottom of this?
She believes that one of those folks moved into the neighborhood and just didn't like the howling of the coyotes. And incidentally, no other neighbors all these years complained, as far as she knows. And in fact, many neighbors helped her.
And I get that you don't like howling. If your neighbor's dog howls, it's terrible. But I mean,
but the
what
person
do you
doesn't
do?
Live next door, lives close enough to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't do that. And I don't understand. So if she didn't have the right permit, so if you don't have the right permit for something, anything, your car, you're given a month or at least weeks to get it. She wasn't even notified that she didn't have the right permits or needed an additional permit or permits, for one thing. And for another thing, even if she did, and even if they needed somehow, some way to remove these coyotes, the way in which they did it, you know, and I'm not taking her word for it. I saw videos of this. The animals were bloodied. They were horrified by what happened. And these are people who did this, and they had trusted people their whole lives, shooting at close range. And whatever they did resulted in the death of presumably previously healthy animals.
Well, so what happens? What do these
Well, how do you sue the state, you know? I mean,
well, if they did something,
she is, I think, going to go to court. But right now, she's just, there's one surviving coyote. She just wants that coyote back,
and they won't give it to her.
Not yet, no. And they may not. It's up to the courts. And this coyote living where the coyote is living now will die. There's no question. This coyote is clearly depressed, sitting in its own feces. 13 years old, so it's not a young animal. It's not going to live 20 more years if they, you know, it just can't. I mean, coyotes don't live that long. So,
I don't understand how this could have happened. I really don't.
I don't either. It's shameful.
Have you won any awards recently, Steve? Usually you come on and you've won an award recently. Have you won anything?
I don't think so.
Come on.
Didn't Governor Pritzker just sign something that you had something to do with?
Yes. So there was a fire, again, a very sad story, a fire at a kennel facility in West Chicago in January. 30 dogs died. And what I learned is these kennel fires happen all too frequently, not only in Chicago, all over the country. And no state has fire protection for animals in kennels. Of course, we have lots of protections, as we should.
Yeah.
I would hope we do for daycares for children.
Right.
In fact, we have lots of them.
Yeah.
And also, children can run out. They're not, I hope, in cages like the dogs are. So the dogs are in these cages, the fire happens. There's no protection system. There's no fire alarms or sprinklers or any of that necessarily. Some communities, individual communities mandate it, but statewide, no state has done it till now, because I said we've got to change this.
Yeah.
And the Humane Society of the United States, a representative, Representative Pappas helped me, I mean, enormously, to make this happen. It even passed the Illinois Senate unanimously.
Oh, that never happens.
Yeah, I know. Steve Dale.
That doesn't happen, Steve, the unanimous part.
And then, oh, but the governor, so here's what happened. I hear the governor's going to sign the bill, right?
Uh-huh.
And I am in Washington, D.C., speaking at the convention of the American Veterinary Medical Association.
Yes.
I call, this is true.
Did they give you an award?
No, but I call.
Missed opportunity, in my opinion.
They have. So I call United Airlines, and I say, I wanted a flight back, and it was last minute. That's hard to do. I have some status because I fly so much, but still, it's hard to do. So, especially from D.C., because they're popular flights, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, I said, the governor wants me back. I'm talking to the person at United Airlines. And she says, what do you mean? I said, well, Governor Pritzker. She said, well, I'm in Chicago. Because you could talk to any, you know, someone at a phone system anywhere in the country.
Yeah, you never know where you're
right, at. She happens to be Chicago. She said, are you Steve Dale?
Get out of here. Are you a noted pet expert?
No, but she, and I said, because I explained what the bill was about and why. She said, why would the governor want you back? So I told her, and then she said, are you Steve Dale?
Why
I
would
said,
the governor want you back?
Because I wanted to be at the bill signing. Representative Pappas knew that.
But
and
it's funny that this woman point blank said that to you.
She did.
Why would the governor
and
want
she
you
got
back?
Me, and she got me on a flight.
Oh, good.
I'm back. I'm landing at O'Hare. I get a text from the governor's office. Our schedule changed, by the way.
Oh, goodness.
So I was out of the country when the bill signing happened, but I got a pen.
Yeah, I wondered why you weren't in that picture.
Yeah, that's why.
Oh.
That's why.
All right, someone wants to know how we can help the coyote lady. There's a bunch of texts.
Thank you.
What can we do?
Call your state representative.
And tell them what.
And there's
people
also
always say that, and I never know who to call and what to say to them.
Tell them the Illinois Department of, what was it? The Illinois Department of Natural Resources. IDNR should be chastised for what they did, and mostly that this woman deserves her dog, the one remaining surviving dog, back before this dog succumbs, which this dog will. I mean,
now you keep saying dog, but
it's a coyote.
Yeah, it's very much not a dog. It's a coyote.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
Apology but like not a dog, accepted. Noted product from Steve Dale.
But like dogs, I mean, this coyote had litter mates its entire life that it lived with.
Yeah.
So imagine being pulled away from that and live with this woman for all these years and now is in it. And on top of it, I'm sure the people are doing the best they can to care for the coyote. But still, living in a place where there's no sun at all, living indoors in a small facility and may not be healthy.
Yeah,
from the images I saw. So this coyote needs to be reunited with her. It's the only chance that this coyote... I mean, what happened to these three other coyotes was really inexcusable. These animals did not have to die.
Mm.
I agree with you. And finally, before we let you go, I love listening to you on Sunday morning.
Thank you.
Hear him from 6:30 to 7. Steve Dale's Pet World. You need more time on the radio. You really
Thank
do.
You.
But someone wants to know if you can do something for that law that you did with the boarding.
Can you
ask Steve if we can get the dog boarding bill to cover horse boarding facilities, too?
I get asked that a lot, and I'm going to be talking to the guy from the HSUS who knows more about the political ins and outs than I do. And I wanted that originally, and so did he. The problem with that is reality. The Department of Agriculture for the state would have fought that bill, perhaps, and we wanted the bill to go through. It did, first state in the country to do it, and the hope is other states follow. But I do understand and agree the same protection should be there for horses.
All right, we'll get working on that and let us know.
I will. I'll try.
Thanks for stopping by, noted pet expert Steve Dale. I hope
you
have a happy International Dog Day.
Yes!
See you and yours.
Woohoo!
Where do people find you?
SteveDale.tv, and there's a link to the petition that this woman has who has those coyotes.
And your one-man show where you do the caveman character that's coming soon.
I couldn't do it without you, though.
What was that caveman show that that guy has done forever?
Defending the Caveman with Noted Topetics with Steve Dale.
I saw it. It's pretty funny. You could be one of the cavemen.
Yeah, I could. All right. It's been said that. That's been said about me.
Love to see that. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
It's Eric Zorn, the fine, fine columnist for your Chicago Tribune. Hello, Eric. How are you?
Am I noted as well? I know Steve Dale's noted.
No, he's noted. You're not noted. That's all right.
I'm not. Yes. Okay.
You have been obsessed with his Noted Pet Expert
For years.
You wanted to be known. Didn't we come up with some kind of moniker?
We had different ways to
describe
you.
Sorry that didn't stick, like Noted Pet Expert.
I think now I'm going to be spry. An old guy who gets around. Yeah. Spry.
That's quite a designation. Good for you. School is starting up. For some schools, it's already started. For some, it's about to start. You've come up with some hacks that people should know for school.
It was interesting because right around our neighborhood, my kids went off to college 5 years ago.
Yeah.
The last ones went off to college 5 years ago. But this year, for some reason, in our neighborhood, there was a bunch of kids who I'd watched grow up, so mm-hmm. I'd go off to college. And this got me thinking again about the advice that I dispensed when my kids went off to college. And
what was the advice?
What happened was I was reading this motivational speaker, and he had boiled down what he thought the secrets to success in college were in just three words. And I'll tell you what his three words are in a minute, but it's got me thinking about what I thought if you had to keep three concepts in mind, mm-hmm. what they would be.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask you to evaluate mine and think of your own.
All right.
If these aren't adequate enough. The first word that I came up with was perseverance. And I said that, you know, college amounts to an attempt to fulfill a lengthy succession of goals, some of which you set for yourself and some of which are set for you by others. And realizing these goals requires you to make plans, stick to schedules, even when you'd rather be doing something else.
Yeah.
It means you need to be on time, not blow deadlines. It means that even diligence will fail you. You need to reach out for help, a boost from teachers, counselors, mentors, friends, even parents, because they usually care a lot about you in ways that you don't even know. So you have to persevere. That's a great one.
I didn't have that.
No.
When I went to ISU for a semester.
So the second one is curiosity.
Great.
And, you know, so cultivate a sense of wonder and ask questions about things is the best way to engage with subjects that you study and the people that you meet as well. One of the things I find is that if you are, what are the old sayings? I think it was a Dale Carnegie book. To be interesting, be interested.
Oh.
I like it.
Right? So if you think of the people you think of who are interesting, they're people who are interested in you, who want to find out more about you. And that cultivates certain kinds of conversations, certain kinds of educational things. And we all have the temptation to be self-absorbed. Certainly when you're a teenager, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
But as you learn more, people are going to like you better. And you can be interested in others and in other topics. You won't look like you're dull in any case. And the way I put it was that if you're not asking questions, you're just going through the motions.
Oh.
I like that one very much.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Those are very solid.
And the third one is perspective. And that is because, as I said, the dark nights of the soul are virtually a prerequisite for graduation, as are mornings of shame and epics of self-doubt. You're likely going to earn some lousy grades. You're going to disappoint people you care about, and if you're lucky, you're going to have your heart broken in a way that toughens you up for the inevitable relationships that you're going to have in life. You need to think long-term about these and other setbacks and learn from them. Vow to do better. Remember that even total failure isn't the end of the world when you're 18 or 19 years old. And the road to professional and personal fulfillment often zigzags, and sometimes it doubles back. You need to have patience and keep steering toward the goal, even though the goal is not always clear.
I'm going to hire you as a motivational speaker for seniors in high school, because this is fantastic.
Well, this is something that came out of, it actually came out of some instructions that I gave to my kids when they were going into high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get into those in just a minute, but let me tell you about what the words that the guy came up with, the three that the motivational speaker were: responsibility, authority, and accountability. And I put those out to readers, and readers responded, this was 5 years ago when I first published this, they've responded with words like discipline, which I think is really important. Self-discipline is important, but it's part of, you know, perseverance, I think. Commitment, self-reliance, Preparation, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Attitude, just have the right attitude. Balance, have a balance in your life. An organization. And attendance is something that I didn't stress enough, I think, in my words. But, you know, they talk about the importance of, you know, life is 90% showing up, being there. I think that's really true in a lot of ways in college. If you don't go to class, your teachers are going to notice it.
Yep, they do.
And it's going to affect your grade. And I think there's a real temptation to sleep in, to miss classes, to, you know, borrow the notes from your friends and so on. And you just need to be there. One of the things that I told my son when he was going off to school is just sit in the front row. Just go sit in the front row.
Because
you,
why?
You don't because you're much less likely, I think, to nod off.
Yep.
Yeah.
To get distracted. I don't think you don't have to sit there and nod at the teacher, you know, and, oh, yes, and aren't you great? It's not an apple polishing thing. It's more just you're present. You're as close as you can be to the action in the room that's important to you, which is what the teacher is saying.
It's like sitting in box seats at a sporting event.
Yeah, exactly. And it costs the same in college.
Yeah,
just sit in the front row.
Even when we have work meetings, I don't know if you notice, I'm typically in the front row because if I'm in the back, I will like, oh, those are cute shoes she's wearing. Oh, look at Bill's got a new baseball cap. I need to have nothing in between me and the presentation or I won't pay attention.
So you can say, oh, Todd, those are great shoes you're wearing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hadn't noticed. No, but I think it's really important to be as close to the action as you can. And I know from my own experience, if I would sit in back in a lecture,
I would be
distracted. I would doze off, and the temptation to doze off is really minimized when you know the teacher's going to see you doze off.
Yeah.
So this is something that I don't know if my son paid any attention to any of this, even read it. But
you should ask all your kids that question.
I did. I had them review it after their freshman year, and my son said only that I should have stressed the fact that college is going to be tougher than you think. It's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
No matter how many instructions you follow, it's going to have a lot of ups and downs.
But did you ever explain to them that those years, those college years, even though they're years to remember and cherish, that's probably the hardest time of your life, right? Didn't life get easier once you graduated?
Well, yes and no. I mean, in some ways, when I look back at college, I think of it, there was a lot of free time in college, even though I took full loads, that if you organized your time well, you had a lot of time for your friends. You had a lot of time for goofing off, as opposed to when you're working. Now, of course, we're now in the radio and newspaper business, where we're, you know, generating opinions and talking. So the kinds of pressures we feel are very different. The kind of time pressures we feel are different. But you know, there are people who, you know, like people who are lawyers who have to work 10 hours.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And to them, college just seems like 4 years of free time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult time. And it's, I think a lot of times you feel the pressure to come up with a goal, a purpose. And like, what are you majoring in? I know my son had to declare a major after 1 year. And
yeah.
I was like, really? He's just still figuring out what he's interested in, where he's going. Now, there are some kids who are, I'm pre-med, I'm pre-law, I want to go
they into, already know,
I want to
though.
Go into nursing, I want to go into business. I mean, there are a lot of, sometimes there are kids who know, but there are a lot of kids who don't.
Yeah, sure.
And you talk to people who are 30, 35, who have found their path, and often it zigzags all over the place. There are kids who go into Teach for America, then they go to the Peace Corps, or they're slinging burgers somewhere.
Wouldn't you love to see a percentage of how many, all right, so take kids going into college their freshman year, right? So they're probably 18 or 19. How many of them end up doing the profession that they thought they would do when they were freshmen
in
college?
That's a really good question.
I would love to know that number.
I think it's, I don't know, it's small. I mean, I didn't know when I went into college. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do something with writing, but I didn't really have any
idea.
In
junior high I wanted to be on the radio.
Did you?
Eighth
junior
grade.
High? Yeah.
And what steps did you take to do that?
I commandeered the record player in the backyard of my friend Sue's parties, and I would like play all the tunes for parties. In high school, we didn't have a radio station at our high school.
Really?
But Triton College allowed you to do this Everybody Wants to Be a DJ week, so I tried to get involved in that. I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Really? But then you only went to college for a semester before you...
I went to Illinois State and quit before they may have asked me to leave.
Oh.
And then I got an associate's degree at Triton College and got involved in their radio station and then started working
at
the
Loop. And that was the experience that you got that was really
key.
And in my case, I was at Michigan and I was studying English Lit. And
yeah.
But the experience that I got that landed me the job that I have now was at the school paper. That a lot of times that it wasn't, and I didn't, and I only got into that because of a good friend of mine who's now the movie critic at Variety told me that I should come try out for the paper because he was there and he was having a good time. He said, you should come try out and you have fun. You know,
yeah.
Because I thought, well, I'll go and I'll write novels or plays or poems or something. And I just had no, it was not focused. And it was that extracurricular stuff. And that's another thing that I would really urge kids to do in college is that, and my daughter, when I ran this list by her after her freshman year, she said, you should take advantage of opportunities that present themselves, even if you think they're stupid.
Oh, wow.
Which was an interesting way of putting it. Yeah. But you know, there'll be a seminar, there'll be an event going on, and you'll think, oh, that's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But often you'll go and you'll realize that, yeah, maybe it is for me, or there is something there. Because a lot of what you get out of college, first of all, it's the friendships you make, but it's also the kinds of experiences you get that you're going to an employer, and employers are getting all kinds of resumes, and they're saying, oh, well, look, you know, Wendy was all involved in her radio station in college. Was it something that they when you applied for jobs that they looked at and said,
well, that was my only experience, and I got hired at the Loop. I had like an AM Christian ethnic station I worked at, but of course you put on WRRG right. at Triton College.
But they're looking for they're looking for that kind of thing rather than, oh, look, she got an A in communication
right.
studies.
Right, but
like
no
that.
Experience.
And I think that's what when I was trying to, you know, sell myself with a resume, that's the kind of thing that I was presenting, which was, I've been the editor of the arts section here. I've written all these articles here. I've written all this stuff like that. So, and I have some other things about what specific things about.
Eric, don't say them yet. Please hold that thought.
Academy Award
with Eric
to
Zorn.
Both of you.
Thank you, Wendy.
Especially Eric.
More with Eric Zorn next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, co-host of The Mincing Rascals, which can be heard on WGN+. It won the podcast of the year award, didn't it?
From the Illinois Broadcasters.
That's pretty good.
And if you listen to last week's episode, you hear me correct John Williams' grammar.
Did John say something inappropriate or incorrect?
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. You have to listen.
All right,
see.
I'll listen in.
Can you repeat your three words somebody wanted to know? Perseverance.
Perseverance, curiosity, and perspective.
PCP.
PCP. And this is in my Sunday column, has this thing I say it's suitable to put on your mini fridge.
Oh, love it.
In your dorm room.
Very nice.
As I said, this came out of a column that I wrote when my kids were going into high school. And instead of like these concepts, I wrote a list of just specific instructions for them. Like,
yeah.
This is what you need to know when you're going into high school. And so I think this also would apply to college kids, people going into college. When you're making a transition to something and you're saying, okay, this is the new me, this is me 2.0, it's the kind of rules that you need to follow. And just here's a couple of them. One is leave nothing for the morning. Before you go to bed, gather your books, your assignments, pack your lunch, charge your phone, lay out your clothes. You know, drama and anxiety are no way to start a day.
Mm-hmm.
And just like get
Amen.
Ready for the morning. I say strive never to be late. Tardiness is a sign of disrespect to teachers and fellow students, and the teachers notice it. Remember names. That's a way to at least pretend you're not utterly self-absorbed.
I can't remember anybody's name.
Never.
It's Bill.
I'm Eric.
It's Bill and Eric. Come on, Wendy, you see us all the time.
Never gloss over unfamiliar words when you're reading or pretend to understand something that you don't.
That is great advice. I don't like when people do that.
They go, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Look it up.
Don't sweat the relevance question. A lot of what you're going to learn won't seem important or directly related to your goals. And honestly, a lot of it won't be. But within a few years, you'll forget these facts, but what will stick in your mind from these term papers or these answers you've put on the exams is you'll learn how to attack an assignment, how to research, analyze, criticize, and refine, how to tell good ideas from bad ones.
Hmm.
So you can sit there and like, why am I learning about the Crimean War? Why am I learning about this stuff? It's not because this information is going to be readily off your tongue. I just wrote a column last week where I compared Donald Trump to Caligula, the Roman emperor, the insane tyrant. And there are a lot of really interesting parallels, including the fact that one of Caligula's wives was named Melania.
Oh,
interesting.
Wow.
Interesting. And he only slept 3 or 4 hours a night. But anyway, I didn't.
Because Caligula was tweeting in the middle of the night.
I read about Caligula in history class. I mean, I learned about him, but I forgot. You forget all. You forget, but you remember how to find stuff and how to put it all together. Keep a calendar and make lists. If you manage your time well, school will not make you nuts. You create and keep to a study schedule, an assignment calendar that has larger tasks broken into intermediate chunks. That's going to help. Staying caught up in your classwork is the most important and some of the hardest aspects of school. It requires limiting the time you spend socializing and entertaining yourself by staring at screens. And another one is just be kind. You're going to regret all the times you're careless with the feelings of others, and you'll remember fondly those who accepted and included you when they didn't have to.
He is the greatest father in all the land.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is fantastic.
Shrug off your insecurities. Even the popular kids have them. I've learned this from going back to reunions. No one thinks about or notices your particular imperfections nearly as much as you imagine they do. And it's a sign of strength to laugh at yourself. And the final one is trust those who love and care about you. And believe it or not, you know, if your parents or your teachers are giving you a hard time, particularly your parents, in just about every case that I can think of, they really care about you. They're on your team. And this is one thing that I would tell our kids and talk to them. Is I'd say, you know, we're on the same team. We have the same goal. We're riding you about this, that, or the other thing.
Right.
You know, we're trying to make sure that you're on track for this or that and the other. And it feels oppositional. It often feels oppositional, like you're bugging them, but you are pulling on the same oars. You really are.
Well, there's also the element of you have a lot of money at stake in this. Right? You've put a lot of money down for this to succeed. You want this to succeed.
Yeah, I don't look at it.
You want return on your investment.
I don't look at it that way. I really
don't. You
don't
at all?
I don't look at it as an investment. No, because even if college were free, if Bernie Sanders were president and college were free, it's more that I've just, you know, I really want my kids to succeed on their own terms, but I want to help them get there, and I want them to realize that I am on their side. And this is something I think a lot of times kids They will forget when you're saying, you know, when you're mad at them because they're late, because they're not turning in their assignments, they're missing class, not getting the grades you want. You feel like you're fighting with them, and it feels that way to everybody. But you need to step back and realize that you are on the same. You both have the same goal, which is you want your college kids. You want them to be happy and successful on their own terms.
Right.
And you know, none of my kids are going into journalism, thank goodness. But I want them to succeed on their own terms.
Absolutely.
And so to that feeling like we're all on the same team together is really one that you need to remember and cultivate.
That's Eric Zorn. We won't see you next Monday. We're off for the holiday. But
next week already.
Yeah.
I'll be here.
You'll still come by.
But probably in the lobby. But yeah,
right. Wearing white, all white, like a good humor man.
Get it out of your system. Thank you, Eric.
Good to see you guys.
We'll turn things over to Steve in a moment.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Don Kleppen from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening here, WGN. Sports. Business.